ESPN commentator Stephen A. Smith, who has talked about running for president, said he would blame you if the Knicks lost the game. How do you respond to that?
I think he's a nice guy. But you need a certain aptitude to run for president. You need a high IQ. I'm not sure that Stephen has that. I don't think he does, actually.
Welcome to this latest edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A., coming at you every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, POTUS Radio, Channel 124. That was the President of the United States talking about yours truly, because he's a frustrated individual, no doubt about that. He doesn't like having the finger pointed at him, the finger of blame. He doesn't like it when folks point out some of the things that he does that are not positive and is not having a positive impact on American citizens, or in this case, an NBA team, no doubt about that. We all understand that. And so the latest salvo thrown in my direction came courtesy of the President of the United States. Just to rehash and to educate and to let everybody know, I want to make sure everybody understands. Game 3 took place Monday night at Madison Square Garden in New York City. The New York Knicks were hosting the San Antonio Spurs for the NBA Finals. I spoke out against the president because the president was coming to the game. No sitting president, ladies and gentlemen, just to rehash and make sure that we're clear. No sitting president has ever attended the NBA Finals. Not one. And you know something? I would not have minded if Trump was the first sitting president to attend the finals if it were not in New York City. But in New York City, where 8.5 million people reside, where congestion should be its middle name, that was the one place that I did not think that the president of the United States should come to, because the congestion was incredibly obvious. Not only that, you were going to have heightened security. You were going to have people that were delayed, whether it's in their cabs, whether it's coming out of the train stations, whether it's lines coming into the arena, et cetera, et cetera. Not to mention the watch parties, Central Park, Bryant Park, and of course, outside of Madison Square Garden, where anywhere from 6 to over 7,000 people were expected to descend upon Madison Square Garden, outside of it, to have a watch party. Why does that matter? Because when you're a team that hasn't been to the finals in 27 years, when you're a team that hasn't had a chance to legitimately at a championship in 32 years since 1994, when you're a team that literally hasn't won a championship since 1973, ladies and gentlemen, you need all the luck you can get. And these watch parties and this fervor and this rabid following by its fan base propelling this team to heights unseen and unpredicted was a big damn deal. It mattered. And I knew that the president coming would force the party to be eradicated. And sure enough, it was. It was canceled. And the New York Knicks lost, which was exactly and precisely my fear. That's what I was worried about. And that's exactly what happened. So I spoke out before the president appeared to say he shouldn't come. I begged for him not to come. And then after the New York Knicks lost the damn game, I made it very, very clear before the game and after, I was pointing the finger at him. At him. I wasn't talking politics. I wasn't talking policy. I was simply saying, yo, you're a native New Yorker. You were 23 years of age when they won their title in 1970 and Willis Reed walked out of that tunnel. You were 26 years old when Walt Clyde Frazier led them in a Game 7 win over the Los Angeles Lakers and Jerry West. You were alive and thriving as a business owner and entrepreneur at age 26, the last time the New York Knicks won a title. What are you doing? And he turned that into something else. He wanted to attack my aptitude and my low IQ, all right? And you saw what he said. But then he wakes up this morning, ladies and gentlemen, at 6:30 in the morning. For all we know, he did this sitting on a toilet. And what does he say? Quote, Stephen A. Smith is an arrogant fool, a low IQ individual. In other words, he's dumb as a rock and totally unqualified to ever think of running for high political office or even low political office for that matter. He'd get annihilated in the debate by the most incompetent of politicians. Joe Biden's now, quote unquote, fabled performance would look great by comparison to anything that this loudmouth huckster has to offer, which isn't much. Within a few weeks, they'd laugh him out of politics, end quote. That was the president, Donald Trump, on his Truth Social platform. Couple of reminders for the president that he might want to think about before he continues taking this path. Number one, Mr. President, didn't they say that about you in 2015? Weren't pundits laughing on the air? Didn't they underestimate you? I believe I recall them doing so. I believe that's what happened. But number two, and to my team, have this clip ready right here. Wasn't it you, Mr. President, that showed up on the Chris Cuomo show on News Nation about a year ago and said that you would like me to run? Wasn't that you? I believe that was you talking about me running for president. Y'all don't believe me? Check it out.
Do you have any advice for Stephen A. If he launches the run?
No, Stephen A. is a good guy. He's a smart guy. I love watching him. He's got great entertainment skills, which is very important. People watch him. You know, a lot of these Democrats I watch, I say they have no chance. I've been pretty good at picking people and picking candidates, and I will tell you, I'd love to see him run.
So you see right there, that's what he said. But now, a year later, because I had the temerity, the unmitigated gall, to call him out for being selfish and narcissistic and not looking out for New Yorkers. He's a Knicks fan. He knows about the suffering. He has suffered rooting for the New York Knicks himself. Because I called them out for inconveniencing the momentum that we had built en route to entering game three for the NBA Finals. I'm a fool. He actually called me arrogant. You of all people will call somebody arrogant? Really, Mr. President? That's where you're going? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm focused on the Knicks. I don't give a damn that this is a political show. I'm focused on the Knicks right now. All that's on my mind is on the Knicks winning the title. I've been starving 53 years for the New York Knicks to win. My focus with Donald Trump is pure and simple. Whatever it takes, you a Knicks fan, hop on board with the rest of us and do what it takes. Don't be selfish and compromise the momentum we built. With sports comes superstition. Every little thing matters. Don't interrupt the flow. Whatever was working in games one and two, keep that momentum going. You could have watched it at the White House. You could have watched it at Mar-a-Lago. You could have watched it at Bedminster. You didn't have to come to the Garden and inconvenience half the city. But the president wanted to get personal. I'm not going to do that. I respect the office. He is the president of the United States of America. People want to sit up there in America. He ain't my president. Yes, the hell he is. If you're an American citizen, he's your president, whether you like it or not. That's not how this works. Just because you don't vote for somebody doesn't mean you get to disregard who they are. I will not disrespect this man on a personal level. And I have to say this before I go where I'm going. The president said, I was a nice guy. I got to tell you something. He's always been nice to me. The first insult or cruel thing he said about me was in the quote on his post on his Truth Social platform. Of all the years that I've known Donald Trump, that's the first mean-spirited thing he's ever done to me personally. I want to make sure that I'm clear in saying, he's always been nice to me. So I'm not going to get personal. I was just talking about the Knicks. But since you wanted to go beyond all of that and get real personal, I want to be very clear. I have no interest in being the president of the United States of America. My life is pretty damn good. I got a few good jobs. I'm making decent money. God has truly, truly blessed me. And I would have to surrender all of that just to campaign for the presidency. It ain't worth my job at ESPN. It ain't worth my job at Sirius XM to be campaigning. Now, if I was the president, just walked in and I had to give all of that up to be the president, that's a different discussion. But to have to give all of that up just to campaign ain't happening. That's number one. I want to be very, very clear about that. But here's something else I want to be clear about. Those one-liners you threw at Hillary, and before that in Republican primaries, whether it was Little Marco or it was Low Energy Jeb or anybody of color, Fiorina, she's a four, and all of this other stuff that you were saying or getting on Chris Christie about his weight or whatever, you try that with me. You think those one-liners gonna work? You got another thing coming. You did real estate and you're a businessman. And obviously, you know what? You have an idea about what you're doing, whether people want to like it or not. As the presidency debate, I do that every day. Every day. You really, really think being on a stage against me would be comparable to you being on a stage with Joe Biden? Respectfully to our former president, president number 46, I have to remind people of what pundits said in the immediate aftermath of a debate on June 27th, 2024, when Joe Biden was on that stage. He looked like an elderly patient in a nursing home waiting for his applesauce to be fed to him. That's what I think it was Anthony Scaramucci who actually said it to Chris Cuomo. You really think that would be me, Mr. President? You sure about that? Name the time and place and I'll show up. Because you see, Mr. President, I don't have a record when it comes to issues. You do. I must ask you, sir, is inflation heating up again? I think it is. Didn't you promise us it would? Are gas prices painfully high? I think it is. Didn't you say you didn't care? The war in Iran is dragging on over 100 days. Didn't you say we weren't in a war before you said we weren't in a war? Before you said it would be over? Before we realized it's not over? Isn't the Strait of Hormuz still closed? Aren't drones still being blown out of the sky because Iran are sending drones to ships to try to go through? Didn't that stuff happen? How about Russia and Ukraine? Didn't you say you would end that in a day? Isn't that still going on? Aren't oil prices still climbing? Federal courts, including the Supreme Court, haven't they either slowed or blocked key initiatives involving immigration, deportations, executive authority, tariffs, agency restructuring, all these things you tried to do? Hasn't that been going on? Isn't our national debt? Our national debt at $39 trillion, I'm sorry. Isn't it growing on a daily basis by $5 billion? Isn't the American people suffering because inflation is pervasive in our lives while you, your family, and your cronies continue to profit? Hasn't it been reported that you've pocketed over $6 billion in a year and a half back in the presidency? Hasn't that been labeled your personal worth? Isn't it true that an additional $4.5 billion in personal profit since returning to office, ain't that you? Isn't it true that your family and your cronies and you combined have basically benefited by a number in excess of $1 trillion? All while the American people are still suffering. Ain't that you? I think that is. Now, you can argue about it. You can argue against those assertions. I can argue for it. So sitting across from me or standing across from me, debating, you sure? I notice how you said other people would beat me in a debate. You didn't say you. You're not Joe Biden. You seem in better health, a bit more cogent, a bit more alert. And we now know from Jill Biden, they don't have a leg to stand on because she admitted that even she was concerned he had a stroke when he was on that debate stage that night. As she's trying to sell her book. Fair enough. But I think it's safe to say if you watch footage from you on Oprah in the 80s and other shows, compared to you now, age and attrition has kicked in. It happens to all of us. I'm not knocking you for it. Father Time is undefeated. But I ain't 80 yet. So you can talk. And I have no desire to be on a debate stage, nor have I ever said I was qualified. I certainly never said I had a high IQ. I never said anything like that. What I said was, is that the state of our politics is in such a sorry-ass state that even a sports reporter like myself can be a candidate who'd win a nomination. That is what I said, and I stand by that. So while you sit around and you talk and you talk and you talk, understand you get into all of this other stuff. All I was talking about was a basketball game. And how because you're a Knicks fan and a native New Yorker, you should have known better than inconveniencing everybody and compromising our mojo and momentum to show up to the game. That's all I was talking about. And because of that, my IQ and adaptability come into question. Really. Fair enough. Again, hopefully for the last time, I don't have to tell people I'm not giving up my career, my quality of life, and the little bit of money that I've earned in my lifetime to run for office. If you handed me the presidency and said, pick one, that'd be a different animal. But to tell me that I got to give up what I worked decades to earn just to campaign for office, I'm not doing it. Nor am I the most qualified. Folks on both sides of the aisle are more qualified than me based upon their history in politics. From a Gavin Newsom or Bashir out of Kentucky or Josh Shapiro out of Pennsylvania or Westmore out of Maryland or anybody else on the left to certainly Marco Rubio, to a lesser degree, J.D. Vance. Certainly a Governor Ron DeSantis and others far, far, far more qualified than me. You got me there. They're politicians. They know all that this entails. But I would remind you, Mr. President, you aren't a politician. You didn't pay much attention to it. Matter of fact, you acknowledge that. And on top of it all, security reports, CIA, NSA, DOJ, you barely read anything. You operated on instincts. Fair enough. Nobody is here questioning your intelligence, your cogency, or anything like that. I'm just saying all of that to say you are underestimated. And because you were underestimated, you at least once upon a time understood how unadvisable it would be to underestimate somebody else. You said it yourself with this sound about me on News Nation, which I will play again.
Do you have any advice for Stephen A. If he launches the run?
No, Stephen A. is a good guy. He's a smart guy. I love watching him. He's got great entertainment skills, which is very important. People watch him. You know, a lot of these Democrats I watch, I say they have no chance. I've been pretty good at picking people and picking candidates, and I will tell you, I'd love to see him run.
See what I'm saying? So you go on Truth Social and make it about something else. I will not disrespect the President of the United States. I'm not going to get into a tit for tat. The President of the United States, I don't give a damn if it were Barack Obama, Clinton, W. Bush, who's a former owner for the Texas Rangers, H.W., Ronald Reagan, former governor of California, former actor. I don't care who it is. No sitting president should have been at that climate, at that environment in New York City on Monday night for Game 3 with the the Knicks and the Spurs, especially a New York native who's supposed to be a lifelong New York Knicks fan, who knows a thing or two about momentum and mojo and riding a wave, knowing about how a rising tide lifts all boats. That's how you won elections. Notice I said plural, both elections, not the third one in 2020, but 2016, 2024, yes. And while I say all of this to you, Mr. President, I'm going to say this one more time. 3,788,000, like 899 voters, 43.3%, if I remember correctly. 43.3% New Yorkers voted for you. No, it didn't win you the state, but it might as well have, because it gave the Republicans a 10% bump against Democrats, a bump they never had in recent memory. New Yorkers did that for you. What'd you do for them? You still give back more money than we receive for the federal government. And what we really wanted from you was to support the New York Knicks from afar so you could allow New Yorkers to truly, truly enjoy an experience they'll never get a chance to do in their lifetime. The thousands upon thousands of them who showed up. That's what we said. And you couldn't do that for us. And now we're down 2-1. And we're on the verge of this series being tied 2-2 unless the Knicks answer the call tonight. Like I said, you talking about everything else. I'm talking basketball. But that is your right. You are the president. And that's fair. But you have right now in this game to talk about. I have the weeks and the months to follow regarding the midterms. And after that, another presidential election that you're not going to be running in unless you circumvent the 22nd Amendment of the Constitution and you get a third term. But either way, we both know you're hell-bent on being directly involved, which means this ain't the first time I'm talking about you, and it ain't going to be the last. I was just talking about the Knicks. But clearly, you want me to show that I'm capable of talking about wars, the economy, inflation, immigration, education, and of course, your relationship with minority communities in this country, particularly the scaling back of things that we see strenuous efforts being put forth towards. There's a lot to get into and a lot of time to do it, but not today. I'm focused on the Knicks. Let's hope the Knicks win, Mr. President, because I know you're a Knicks fan. That we do have in common. I agree with you about the borders, too. To be fair, I agree with you about the borders. The rest is subject to debate, which we will have, whether you like it or not. See you soon. I got a game to go to in a little while, but a show to finish up first. Take care. Talk to you later. See you when I see you. By the way, I would still love to come to the White House, sit down one-on-one with you. I'd prefer that over a debate, but if you want a debate, I'm open for that too. Don't think you should do that. Just my opinion. But wouldn't mind coming to the White House to ask you an abundance of questions I'd love for you to answer. You're always welcome on this show as well. Straight Shooter with Stephen A. POTUS Radio, Channel 124. I'm here. Nobody's hiding. I just wanted you to hide for Game 3 instead of showing up at the Garden. Sorry you didn't grant us that wish, and we lost. I know it makes you upset for me to say this, but I meant it. The New York Knicks lose this series. I'm looking right at you. You ain't the only reason. They got to play. It's ultimately on their shoulders. But the mojo was compromised. You know what mojo is. And you know when you took it away, whether you like it or not, to admit it, that is. Deal with it, my man. Deal with it. More of the Stephen A. Smith Show. Straight Shooter with Stephen A., that is. Right here on POTUS Radio, channel 124. Back with more in a minute.